is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Netflix Christmas movies.
I'm Dan. I despise Netflix Christmas movies.
I'm Alonzo. I feel duty-bound to watch all Netflix Christmas movies.
And this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. Another week, another reason to open up Netflix and watch a Christmas movie in February.
In Guam. That's right.
I know you've been looking for the excuse. We're giving it to you. Yep. Congratulations and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to all you in Micronesia.
Yes. Alonzo, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are y'all?
I'm doing great. I'm full of Christmas spirit at this point. And I think, if nothing else, doing this 5 days a week, two of the days gives me a reason to dust out that Santa hat.
Dust it out.
I dust it.
Saying the word slower doesn't make it any better.
You should see the inside. It is coated with dust.
The outside, though. Yeah. You dust out the Santa hat.
I dust
two
out
days
the,
a week.
Two days a week. For Christmas movies.
Oh, that's right. Monday and Friday. Reviews are in. People love Alonzo. People love him.
If you squint, he looks like Panda too, which is nice. It's just like you just squint and you're good to go.
It's why we both shaved, you know. Yes,
that's
to
right.
Throw people off the scent.
You
that's
guys are right. In cahoots.
In cahoots. That's
right. I love it. Yeah. We're doing a movie from last year.
And it's a movie, and I want to get this straight. It's a movie that you turned off halfway through.
I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
First of all, okay. I'm going to get to that. There's reasons. But when I did discover that we were going to do this movie, I was a little bit less than excited because of that. But I'll get to it in my hot take. Okay.
Okay?
Right. Don't steal my thunder. But it is from last year. It
Sorry
is Operation.
To dust out the thunder there.
I don't need it from you this early. In the week. Give me a day.
Monday.
Operation Christmas Drop. It was a flick that came out last year, which is the latest, the newest movie we've ever done.
It's the most recent.
The Mondays.
Yeah. Most recent like, Monday. Yeah.
Most recent, yeah.
And, well, actually, Happiest Season was also last year.
Yeah. What are you even trying right now?
Alonzo, do you want to take over from here?
I got to dust out my Santa hat first.
Yeah. Did you? I mean, we were.
It's the newest in the last couple of weeks, though. You got to admit that, huh?
Look, I don't want to get letters. You know how it is.
Oh, I know how it is.
We know. We know about the emails. Danny is adopted.
No more apologies from Dan this week, please.
Early on in Deck the Hallmark, that was 2018. 2018, I thought we weren't going to make it because of the Danny's adopted letters. I swear to you. We didn't have it. It was all emails and messaging on every platform. I thought, man, people are just never going to forgive us. Like, they can't get over that Chad Michael Murray was adopted and we said he wasn't.
Look, if we could forgive the Fiddler on the Roof thing, clearly I think we have an amazing capacity
What's the Fiddler on the Roof? I've not heard.
For the first time in this podcast, we're going to do a movie from 2020.
2020!
Operation Christmas Drop. It originally aired on Netflix, maybe you've heard of it, on November 5th, 2020.
It's a scrappy little company. Got to give Blockbuster a run for their money.
I like to promote the small businesses. go check this thing out. Operation Christmas Drop originally aired on November 5th, 2020. I want a little something 2020! Like this. Erica is a congressional aide who has been told to look into this military base that does this thing called Operation Christmas Drop. Are they using taxpayer money for something they shouldn't? We'll find out, won't we? God forbid. Captain Andrew is very passionate about Operation Christmas Drop. where they drop goods on local islands that are in need. There was a typhoon that came and they lost a lot of their donations, but they're working on making up the loss, and he's spreading a lot of good cheer and a lot of his time on this project. Now, Erica, her boss tells her to go and investigate the base. She's going to go there and she's going to look into everything, look into all the nooks and crannies and see, is this base worth shutting down to save the money, which is going to take her away from her family at Christmas, which she's a little bit bummed about, but also not super bummed because her dad has a new wife after her mom passed away, and she's a little bit not super down to go. So, you know, blessing in disguise, I guess. So she's looking to shut the base down, and he's been given the mission to make her notice how important the base is, how they're doing good work here, how it's essential to not just what they're doing, but also to the people around and the help that they give the locals and the surrounding islands. So he's kind of showing her things that he wants her to see and kind of stalling for time and doesn't want to show her everything and kind of wants to stay away from the whole Christmas thing because he knows that she won't love it. And so is stalling, and she's kind of like, okay, whatever. Starts giving him a hard time. He drops her off at her room, and there's this big old gecko there. So, cool. He shows her around the island, and eventually she leaves him at a beach and steals his car so she can go run around the base and check out all the things that she wants to see. And she is convinced that they're wasting a lot of time and money, and that this seems to be in a pretty open and shut case. But that is until she starts to meet the people and starts spending time with Andrew and starts to feel like maybe this is all worth it. She also starts to think that maybe Andrew's worth it, if you know what I mean. He's a hunk and also the nicest and most generous human ever alive. They slow dance together at a Christmas party, and he shares about his past and why he's so passionate about helping people. She gets a bunch of generators donated, but a typhoon is coming, which is going to put the whole Operation Christmas Drop in danger. So they rush to put the boxes back, to put the boxes together. And Erica is there, and she's having a blast with Andrew. And they're like, look, they're very close. They're making eyes. But her boss comes walking in. What is she doing there? I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that Erica hasn't been answering her phone. So she's like, you've gotten too close to this. You got to go home. And she's like, to heck with it. The storm's getting weaker, and she convinces Andrew. Sorry.
You need me to take over?
No, I'm good.
Got it? Okay.
It's that chicken. I'm good. She convinces Andrew that they should go for it. And she's going to tag along, but the boss shows back up. And she's like, I thought I told you that you should go home. And Erica's like, this is too important for me to just leave, and I think you should stay and help too. So she says, okay. And she goes on the drop and sees firsthand how helpful Operation Christmas Drop is and how it doesn't actually use taxpayer money. Yay, mission accomplished. Yay, it's all donations. This is wonderful. And the congresswoman remembers why she got into this into the first place, is to help people. So they go on their own way, and the congresswoman comes back and says, this is amazing. And she says, you've got a promotion waiting for you in D.C. And Erica got Andrew's family flown to see him for Christmas. They kiss, and that, my friends, was Operation Christmas Drop.
We did it. Right. We did it.
We did do it, everybody.
A lot of excitement behind this one. I can feel it.
You can feel it?
I feel it. That's right.
Ooh, okay, okay. Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll break this movie down. We'll share our thoughts, our feelings, some emotion. And we'll do all that when we get back here on Deck the Hallmark. We're back.
Hey,
Hey, we're back. We're talking about Operation Christmas Drop, the movie from 2020, aired on Netflix, and got there was lots of chatter on the webs about it. So the Netflix Christmas movies gets lots of chatter.
They do.
They get lots of chatter. Dan says it's because it's better filmmaking.
They're quiet. They're higher quality than Hallmark films.
Don't just need it from you. We're not going to get into this today.
The budget is massive.
Budget's massive.
But Alonzo, am I wrong on that?
Well, the company that makes a lot of the Netflix movies also makes movies for Lifetime and Hallmark. So MPCA, like Brad Crevoy, you'll see his name pop up on stuff that even airs on Hallmark. So I don't know what the dividing line is. I mean, there are definitely some elements of this one that felt very like not a Bill Elliott movie or Bill Abbott. Yeah. Abbott movie
or Billy Elliot?
Because Bill Elliot. Look, Billy Elliot, he doesn't have time. He's got things to do.
He's too busy.
The miners are striking.
That's right.
But also, I think you have to remember that a lot of the production value on this one, I think, comes courtesy of the U.S. Armed Forces.
But the budgets for these movies are 5 and 10 times higher.
Do you know that?
Yes.
Where have you found them? Well, where are the numbers?
Netflix released their budget for Christmas movies and the number of movies released. So you could do a quick division and get an average, and they're way higher. Like they just.
I want a report written by you on my desk in the morning.
I'll dust it out.
I think if you take what they spent on Christmas Chronicles 2 and Jingle Jangle, it far outweighs what they spent on this and they're doing different things.
A movie like this that's supposed to be Hallmark in style, I think it's similar in budget.
No, it's way higher. It looks way nicer. Like even this movie, which I'm not saying that I loved, it looks and feels way nicer than a Hallmark movie.
Well, that CG gecko, that clearly caused.
Yeah, the gecko is where the money was spent. That's right.
Hey, let's get to the hot take. Let's share.
They did a motion capture on a real gecko. Could they have used a real gecko? Yeah, instead they put those dots all over that mother and they sent him into that room.
It paid off. Let's get to the hot take. It's where we share exactly how we felt about this movie. Alonzo, Operation Christmas Drop. Are you picking it up or are you dropping it? I don't know. I'm trying a new thing here.
Put a cork in it. Oh.
I'll tell you. We think of propaganda films as being like, those adorable things from the 1940s that, to compel people to ration their food or hate the Japanese. And this movie is a propaganda movie. This is such a commercial for look at the armed forces and all the good work that we do in the South Pacific. And not that there's anything wrong with that. The actual Operation Christmas Drop is a great thing. I'm sure it's a good PR boost for, our presence there and for our strategic goals in the South Pacific and all of that stuff. But this movie is just so unabashedly like a commercial for that. It's kind of crazy. That said, I will say Alexander Ludwig and Cat Graham have some chemistry. He's a big, cute galoot.
I saw Big Cute Galoot live. They were so good.
So good.
He gives her some puppy dog eyes, and you're like, okay, I buy it, whatever. And, Virginia Madsen, I'm glad she got a nice trip to the South Pacific out of this.
I couldn't believe it was Virginia Madsen. The whole movie, I was like, man, that looks like Virginia Madsen. And then at the end, I looked at the credits. I was like, oh, that's because it's Virginia Madsen. That's what happened. Playing the same role she plays in Designated Survivor, by and large.
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
Yeah.
But like you know that if that role had just been her in DC, it would have been somebody else. But like, I get to go to Guam and get some tanning in. Sure.
Sold.
Why not? Yeah. So I'll share my thoughts here. I watched this movie, have part of it in November, and here's what I'm not looking for when I'm watching a Christmas movie in November: a trip to the beach. That's not what I'm looking for. And so, one, this movie, in my opinion, starts off pretty boring and no, nothing but beach. So for me, it's just like, I'm not going to spend my hard-earned Christmas season on this. So I turned it off. I will say, though, it's a good Christmas movie for February because the ending of this movie does give me Christmas feels. But also, now I'm excited for the go to the beach that one time of the year that I do that and look at the water and think about getting in, but I don't. I'm excited about that. So, this is a good Christmas movie for this time of year. You want some Christmas feels, you'll get some of those. You want some beach feels, you'll get some of those. For me, it's not a Christmas movie that I'm going to watch around the holiday season, but I really did enjoy it the second viewing. Once you get past, the first act and a half, they really start to... hit their stride. So, yeah, overall, I liked it, and it's a good Christmas movie for February.
This is the company, sorry, Dan, this is the company that made the Kristen Davis, Rob Lowe Christmas in Africa movie last year. Holiday in the Wild, thank you. So I love how aggressive they are. Like, not only are we're not going to have fake snow in this movie, we're going to be near the equator.
Yeah, that's right.
Their commitment to Christmas that I moved away from is just...
I would wager to say, speaking of budgets, they paid Rob Lowe more for Holiday in the Wild than an entire Hallmark movie cost. That's what that, I'm all in there.
Certainly possible. But again, he got a free trip out of it, you never know.
Yeah.
And I will say, I also really like Kat Graham. And I told Alonzo last week, about one of my favorite Netflix Christmas movies is The Advent Calendar that she's also in, and I think she does a great job. And so, big fan of her as a whole, and I thought she did a fantastic job in this movie.
This movie has such an uphill battle to get to terrible, because it has a lot going for it, in my opinion. I love Kat Graham. Fashionably Yours, a movie that I would never watch again, but is eminently watchable because of her presence. She's adorable. I love her. She's wonderful. She's made for these movies. She does a great job. The scenery in Guam is outstanding. It looks beautiful. It is beautiful. And Operation Christmas Drop is a real thing, which I knew before watching the movie. I did not think they were going to have any connection. And when I realized they were, I was like, oh no. But having said that, not only does this movie fight its way up that hill, but it 100%, you know, summits the mountain of bad. It manages to still be pretty terrible.
Plants a flag.
That's right. The male lead, who is a very, very light shade of Alexander Skarsgård, I wasn't a huge fan of his. Kat Graham, terrific, can do no wrong, in my opinion. They make it more complicated than it is, because the bottom line is this is a government official sending another government official to snuff out a secret charity Christmas party. That's what's going on in this movie, and done all in the name of how awesome our armed services are. And the bad guy in this movie, Virginia Madsen, she's not doing it for like, hey, we need to have less of a military presence around the world. She's doing it because she wants the money to put to other military operations. Why are we giving things away with our military? How dare us? And so it's a tough watch. It's an eye roll most of the way. I was kind of squinting to see if there was a Frank Capra credit at the end of it. I couldn't believe how just objectively averse, like objectively overt the propaganda was in the film.
But it's, you know, the government really does care a lot about, you know, using taxpayer dollars in ways that are essential.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is that they have the male lead in this movie never sees his family ever. Yeah. Never has a place to call his own, working around the clock. And at one point, he's up in the helicopter going, God, I got the best job in the world. Like, what are we doing right now? Like, what are we trying to, like, just calm it down, everybody, just a little bit. I mean, we love the troops. We all love the troops here, but this is absurd. It's absurd. I just couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. It's a no-go for me. In fact, yeah, I think Christmas Cupid was pretty bad.
Oh.
I'm trying to think of if this is my least favorite we've done on Monday so far. Christmas Cupid's real, real bad. It's definitely worse than Spirit of Christmas, and it's definitely worse than 12 Dates of Christmas.
Definitely worse. Happy Season's
the best one. So yeah, it's either this or Christmas Cupid.
Yeah.
This is kind of on the same level of offense as Christmas Cupid. So, you know, it's bad. It's a bad movie.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy though? And this is going to, you're not going to like this, he probably won't either. These movies are still way more watchable than Hallmark movies are. Like, it just is. I don't know what to tell you. Like,
there's some sort of Kool-Aid that you're drinking. Like when you open up the Netflix app and it goes, it's like, oh, Kool-Aid, look. Like, there's something about it. Like, I don't know what it is, but you're wrong.
I'll say these movies are crappy in a different way than the Hallmark movies are crappy. So if they appeal more to Dan, I get it, but it's not that they're good.
I'm not saying they're good. They are definitely crappy in a different way, but to me, it's way more watchable than 40 Hallmarks. Now, maybe if there were 40 Netflix, I'd feel differently, but they're Holiday in the Wild. Those are the two we've done from Netflix. I think that's it.
We did a fall one.
Oh yeah, with Christina Milian, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Inn. Yeah, those three movies are all better than the average Hallmark movie.
In my opinion. And we did a Rachel Lee Cook. Also, that one was a good movie. That was a great movie.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed that one.
That was really good.
Damon Wayans Jr.? Yeah.
I want to watch that one again. That was a good movie.
We should do Holiday on this show, although it's dirty.
Yeah. I want to watch it. I just don't have the reason to. So, you know. Fans, let us know how much that bothers you.
Yeah. Let's talk about all the feels. As part of the show, we talk about what in this movie gave us those feels of any sorts. Alonzo?
Yee, not a ton, really. Like I said, I think by the end of the movie, you do buy the leads, you know, Cat Graham. The movie's called The Holiday Calendar, by the way. The,
oh, okay, Netflix, yes.
Christmas
yes.
movie. But yeah, like you buy her and Alexander Ludwig as a couple. They have a lot of these movies. It sort of feels like they either kind of take it for granted that the main two people will get together, or they, you know, they it looks like they should become friends or business partners. But this one, I actually saw where the, you know, like they're both really driven. They're both good at their jobs. They both, you know, ultimately under everything do kind of care about stuff. So I did buy them as a couple, and I thought they had a little more reason to have a kiss at the end than we often get in these movies. But beyond that, not a ton of emotion.
I got like, that's funny type feels. And there's a scene where she and one of the other girls who's in the service are showing up to this party, and they're in dresses, and it's like, oh, and the guys, the two guys that are interested in those two wet ladies, they're like step back and they like walk. I think they think that they're in slow motion.
Yeah,
they're just
fierce.
Like,
yeah.
Whoa. And I don't know. I thought it was very funny. Like I don't think they meant to do it on purpose, but they're just, yeah.
It was a blue steel walk.
Yes.
And then the guys both look like they're late to like for bowling club.
Yes.
Like they
yes.
look like they're so far removed
yes.
from anything these girls would be interested yes. in, which made it even funnier.
So, yes, I laughed at that. I thought it was funny, Dan.
Yeah. I had parents with Wi-Fi feels in this movie. I gotta be honest, man. We FaceTime my mom and dad, my twin boys, so they can see them all the time, and it never fails. I swear, every time it starts breaking up, quality, poor connection, and my mom goes, I'm really sorry, Daniel, the router's upstairs. I know the router's upstairs, Mom. Like, I know it is. We need to find a way.
It's the same thing at my parents' house. Yeah. They always hang out in the den,
that's right.
which is the furthest possible yeah, part
that's right.
from the router. Right.
Just get a mesh system, get a Google Nest, get something. You can have multiple routers throughout your house. It costs $150. I just think if you have a house big enough to where you can be in the den and be too far away from the router, you can afford the Linksys system. And then
buy them a very long cable.
Yeah. What's crazy is my dad loves tech stuff. Like they're not super old. Like they love tech stuff and they're probably going to watch this on Friendly and give me a hard time. But like every time it's like, just fix it. Just for crying out loud. I've had my kids for 4.5 years. Just fix the thing.
Guys, we'll send you a system. It's coming in the mail. Yeah. It's coming in the mail.
Can the business buy them that?
It's $150.
Hi, Thompsons.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the wait, what's new, what the Lifetime's here.
What the Netflix?
What the Netflix? The what the flicks?
Oh, yeah, well, that's a good one. Alonzo Duraldi podcast. What the flick?
That's a good one. That's a good one. We'll be right back here on Deck the Hallmark. We are back. We're talking about Operation Christmas Drop, and we have come to the part of the program called the Wait What's, where we share what in this movie made us go Wait What's. And I'm going to start with my friend Alonzo. Alonzo, wait what?
Well, I think the giant wait what that is the umbrella over this entire film is that the plot hinges on the idea that a congressperson is worried that the military is spending too much money.
Got him. Yeah,
let's just pause and take that in, because if there's anybody who's on the government teat who is never ever called upon to spend less money, it's the military.
Like,
again, we love the troops.
We love the troops.
Let's get real here.
But and also, if you think this conversation is getting too politics adjacent, like I just want you listener to understand at home that anything that you think the government spends too much money on, all of that combined represents half of the pie. And the military represents the other half
of the pie.
That's right. So the idea that a congresswoman of her ilk, especially, and kind of where she is politically, would have that kind of problem is patently absurd. Just yes. crazy town. For sure.
And that on top of it, she thinks the solution is going to be to shut down something with Christmas in the title. Like, she's not going to get primaried on that one.
Yeah. No, the Grinch looks like he gets it compared to her. Like, she very much doesn't understand, like, what the ripple effect of this.
Also, she flew there.
Yeah.
Well, and I know she's on her way to Singapore, but
yeah, whatever.
You know,
yeah, if you say so. But Operation Christmas Drop is a real thing that's been around for almost 70 years, and it is used as a thing to say that the armed services are doing good around the world. Imagine something that's been a United States. Imagine if a congressperson was like, "No Rockefeller tree this year. It's bad for the environment.
Too much money.
It's too much money." That's right. Can you imagine the uproar? She'd literally be impeached. She wouldn't even make it through her term. It's the dumbest thing in the world. That is the giant, wait, what? There's no question about it.
Just go to Cancun and hide out. You'll be fine.
Exactly. The giant, that's the big straw man of this movie. But there's some smaller ones along the way. At the beginning, when Kat is out doing the shopping for the congressperson and somebody from her office needs to send her the article about Operation Christmas Drop, rather than send the link to her phone, she takes a picture of her computer screen and sends her a picture of the article, which of course Dave White's like, "What? I do that all the time." Like, yeah, because you're an 80-year-old man who doesn't understand the internet.
That girl also probably has her router in the attic as well.
Apparently, her Wi-Fi is losing it. And then my other favorite thing is that my experience has been that anybody who has actually gone to the country that is spelled Q-A-T-A-R pronounces it Qatar and not Qatar, which is what they say in this movie.
Wow. I would have said Qatar. That's the one I didn't know. Qatar.
I've always heard people say Qatar. So that was like.
Mm. Yeah. But who are they making the movie for, Alonzo?
Well, you're right. You're like, what? There's a country called C-U-T-T-E-R? Qatar. I've never heard of this. Mm.
I have a few. One, I don't know why this line caught me off guard, but there's this mayor who is like, you know,
that white mayor of Guam.
Yes.
Yeah, that one.
He goes and says, "Hey, I need some help." Andrew does to the mayor. And the mayor is like, "Let me guess, you want me to give you another generator?" Okay. And then he's like, "They cost too much money to give away." Well, you've already done it before, apparently, because you said you want me to give you another one.
That's right.
What's another? Like, okay, I'll give you one. You get one, and that's it. No, it was just a funny line to me.
Generator me once.
Yes, that's exactly right. They're getting together to have a box packing party. And they do an odd sing-along thing, which I still don't understand why it happened. And then there's a guy who gets a box of Santa hats. And I think, oh, they're going to pass them out. No, he just throws them all in the air and walks away. Next thing you know, everyone's wearing Santa hats. I don't think it was a very the best way to get Santa hats distributed, but who am I? I think it's that same guy brings a boombox aboard
the plane. That's right. Yeah,
that he thinks the little boombox speakers are going to be loud enough through the giant headphones and all of the sound of the helicopter.
It's a Bose. It's a Bose.
Yeah. Oh, wow, And last but not least, maybe this is how they do it. I don't know. But they have figured out a way to make a box that's filled with supplies waterproof.
Yeah.
But not like, I would think, like, they put it way out there in the water. Hey, go get the box yourself. Why couldn't they figure out a way to just drop it on? It's got a thing.
They don't want to hit anybody. I think
it's not
a precise bit. So, like, the parachute, they drop it and the parachute takes it. They're hoping for somewhere within the water to that little bit of land. They don't care which. They're dropping it to where it's easily accessible.
I just felt bad for those poor people that have to go out in the water and retrieve this heavy box with a parachute on it.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's hard to pull in. It's a lot, it's got a parachute. It won't break upon impact. It's
not an exact science.
Just go to the center of the island.
But drop it on a village where you could hit up like
you'll be fine.
No, you won't.
Brand, do you think that they actually staged this for the movie, or do you think we're seeing actual footage of the real drop?
I think they staged it for the movie.
I think you're giving him too much credit. I think that because
but we get a nice shot of a drop, like a point of view.
I think all of this is a thing that really happens, and they just like had a bunch of cameras on it.
Yeah,
I don't think they did prop boxes and
I'm just trying to help out the military for once, guys. Just let me try.
There's so many good ideas.
I can't fight. Let me do this one thing.
I think if you live on one of those tiny atolls, like you're used to going into the ocean just on a daily basis.
But it's got a parachute on it. It's gonna be hard. Is no one worried about the...
No one is.
It's hard.
No. It's a giant box with a parachute. It's not an exact science. You can't drop it on top of a
building. But what I'm saying is it's going to be very hard. It's going to be very hard to get it on the land.
It's free stuff.
It's going to be very hard.
It's lighter in the water.
That's right.
I don't need you guys. People are with me. I can hear them.
You do need us.
I don't need you. I got the people. Yeah. The people are with the people. Me. The people from Brand.
He's a populist candidate. That's right. Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah. So I am in no place because I've been burned before. I'm not here to tell anyone in Wisconsin or Arizona that their state is a bad state. I think both of those are lovely states.
Yes.
In this particular movie, there's an argument between the troops where one of them's like, you just have to see Christmas in Wisconsin. It's, you know, ice skating and blah, 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 all this stuff. And this other guy pipes up and he goes, please, man, you should see it in Arizona. Wisconsin Christmas has nothing on Arizona. Look, man, like I'm sure Arizona is awesome because you're with your family. But there's no way that Wisconsin, with the snow and the weather, there's no way Arizona's Christmas is as good as Wisconsin's Christmas objectively, right?
Arizona Christmas is Netflix. Wisconsin Christmas is Hallmark. That's
right. How dare you?
100%.
The reverse, maybe. Then I've got so many questions about this meet cute of this movie on the beach. First of all, how did she know he was at the beach? She got there early, didn't tell anyone she was in town, and just made her way to the beach somehow. Second of all, he runs up and they do a bit because his muscles look good. And then she says, took me 36 hours to get here from D.C., He responds, Washington? No, the other D.C. Daryl Canyon in Florida. Dick Cannabis. What are you talking about? Like Washington, what other D.C. would she be talking about? And then she said it took her 36 hours. It's a 21-hour flight from D.C. to Guam. You have a bad travel agent and you work for the government. Like, you should be able to do this in half the time you were doing it in.
Layover?
So yeah, 15-hour layover.
You know the kind.
And then his response at this weird meet-cute on the beach is, well, I'm not on the clock for like 9 more minutes. How were you going to get dressed and get to pick her up in 9 minutes? He has to clock in 9 minutes. Yeah, he's on the beach in like... surfing gear.
Well, no.
Soaking wet.
No, but a day starts. He has the clock starts at 9 a.m.
So, but she says, aren't you on the clock?
Uh-huh.
Like, aren't you on Army time right now? Like, you're working for the Army. And he goes, not for 9 minutes.
Yeah.
So what state is he working for the Army in surfing gear, soaking wet?
He's on his off day.
He said, no, he's not on his off day.
He went surfing in the morning before the day starts. But
his day starts in 9 minutes.
Yes.
There's no way he's going to make it on time.
Make it to where?
Work.
Yeah, he's there.
He's not there.
Work is wherever you are.
Work is wherever you are. Got it. Good, good, good. I'm glad we did that.
You don't know how far the beach is from anything.
And work is in wet swim trunks, apparently, if you're in the Army.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, that's what the Army's good at. He, at one point, convinces her to go Christmas snorkeling because, and I quote, she'll be more efficient. And look, it may relax you to go snorkeling, but if you spend a whole day snorkeling, you by definition have not been more efficient. I'm sorry. Like, there's no way that that's possible. And then you had this in an earlier movie we did, and a similar thing happens here. He negotiates with a hotel on the island to give them Douglas furs in exchange for a bevy of goods that they get in exchange. So much stuff. And they make that trade to get the Douglas firs delivered what I think is 2 days before Christmas. Yeah. They get two whole days of those trees. That's it. And that's if they get them decorated in time. That's a bad trade.
It's a bad trade. It's not worth the goods.
This is a pre-Thanksgiving trade, I feel like.
Yes.
It works much better as a pre-Thanksgiving trade. And then when Cat Graham's character starts to find out that Homeboy's actually a good dude and he cares, the girl, Sunshine, I believe is what they call her, says, he brings Christmas to everyone, everywhere. That's all he does. That's what she says. Everyone, everywhere. That's all he does.
That's actually on my business card.
And first of all, not possible. Second of all, the Army is losing money on that guy. There's got to be a better way to say that than he brings Christmas to everyone, everywhere. That's all he does.
Well, the original ending was he was secretly Santa all along.
That's right. That's
right.
Those are my way ones.
All right, it's time for what the flicks.
What the flicks.
Where we wonder what could have been, maybe happened, give some clarity to the questions that we still have. Alonzo.
The one fig leaf they have of trying to explain why Congresswoman Virginia Madsen wants to shut this whole thing down is because they are threatening to close a base in her district, and so she's trying to find any other base that she can, you know, get her hands on so that she can save that one, you know, because what possibly need would we have for a strategic area in like the entire South Pacific? So my question then being, after she has seen the light and discovers that this is so great and they need to hang on to it, what base gets closed instead? And is it the one in her district? And if it is the one in her district, does she get reelected? Because that seems like the kind of thing where he's like, hey, how come we all these jobs got lost, Congresswoman?
Well, you're spending all your time in Guam.
Exactly.
No, my question was similar to that. I'll let you go, Bram. But my question was, maybe they answer this. Where is she from? What is her? Because I want to know what military base is in her district. Like, is she, you know what I mean? Like, is she just from some, like, is she from Utah and there's like a military base in Utah for some reason? I mean, questions about that.
There are a lot of military bases in the U.S.
We got Fort Jackson is huge in Columbia, South Carolina. But I was very curious as to like the big push. I just want to know what state she's from.
I mean, I typically stray away from this one, but it's too glaring, and it's what happens with them.
That's my other one.
Because she is going back to D.C.
Never said she wasn't.
For a promotion
that
I can only assume is going to make her busier, going to make it more difficult. Like, she's not going to be going to different bases to find one to shut down. Like, there's no reason for her to ever go back. And so, and the base isn't getting shut down.
No,
he's not coming home. So it doesn't work out for them. Cause I don't know. I just don't know.
Yep.
But she's got really good Wi-Fi.
That's right.
She does good have Wi-Fi. Really good Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Bad travel agent. Good Wi-Fi.
Well, but now she's figured out how she can hop on any plane going somewhere already. And it's signed off as approval. Like no problem. There was a someone getting shipped there. Some going there. You just hop on the plane. You're good to go. That's all you
got to do. With the fir trees.
With the fir trees. That's exactly right.
My only other one was, and this is just, I want to know what committee Virginia Madsen's on. Like, where is she getting the jurisdiction to shut down an Army base?
Appropriations?
Like, I feel like for her, unilaterally, she would have no ability to. She's having someone go and write a report, and they think that that's the death knell. But the reality is that she can only present that as an option. I mean, maybe very powerful committee would have the ability to have more swing. It just seemed like, I want to know the process. I guess Virginia Madsen's character, I want to know kind of how big a wig she really is, because that would make a lot more sense to me.
Yep.
We did it.
Congratulations, everybody. I'm so proud of us. Yeah. Great one. I hope you watched it and hope you liked it. Let us know at Hallmark Podcast on the social medias. You can be in touch
with us. Leave us a review. We've gotten some really good ones lately.
And a film and a movie. Still happening.
Come on.
Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. You got something this about Wednesday, brothers.
It's It's husbands and another round.
No, that was last Wednesday.
No, it's Wednesday.
My days are all confused.
You're a time traveler. I already said that. You're a time traveler.
Now, guys, I'm very excited about this next one. It's a rental somewhere, so rent it. But it's Love at the Christmas Table.
Ooh, at the Christmas Table.
Yeah. All right. Very excited about it. I have lots of feelings about this movie, and I'm excited to rewatch it. And so if you haven't watched it, I want you to watch it. And we'll be back next week. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast. It's produced by Brandon Gray and presented by Friendly TV. Our lovely set is decorated by Plum Home Decor. You can check them out at plumonmain.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast, go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. And to hear every Bramble Jam Podcast ad-free, go to BrambleJamPlus.com.